Welcome to Live Creek. And if you have your Bibles with you, this will be our last sermon in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 8. If you have your Bible, open it with me. And if you could all rise for the reading of God's Word, if you're able. Your Bible, or it'll be up there in the back on the Genesis chapter 18, verses 22 to 33. Genesis chapter 18, verses 22 to 33. This is God's word. So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood still before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered and said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again, he spoke to him and said, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak again, but this once. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. This is the word of the Lord. If you could all say, thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let me pray for us. If you could join me in prayer one last time and ask for God's help. Father in heaven, we have opened your word and we need your help. We need the mind of the Spirit. Your thoughts. We want to think after your thoughts now. So help us. Please, I pray, do not leave us to ourselves, our own morality, our own ways of thinking. I pray that you would help us, that your word might shape us. You are Lord. We confess that you are Lord. You are our King. You are our Master. And this is your words. Help us to bow our knees before it. And so we need your help now. Help us to understand it, believe it, live it, especially in this 21st century now. Help us. Give us wisdom and understanding. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen. Amen. I know last week I said I will end the book of Genesis with the story of Joseph, and I decided not to. I feel like Joseph needs many sermons to sort of unpack his life. And so I picked another sort of a popular character in the Bible, in Genesis, and that's Lot. And most of you guys, if you grew up in a church, know what Lot is. And Lot is actually one of the most misunderstood, maligned, speak ill of character in the Bible. Lot is Abraham's nephew. And it seems like at first glance, if we read his story, and I encourage you guys to read the whole story of Lot. And it seems like at first glance at Lot's life, that he has spiritual issues. People reading this story accuse Lot of list of crimes that he committed against God, from how could he give his daughters to the men of Sodom, these wicked men, to getting drunk on wine and committing incest with his daughters. The laundry list goes on and on, list of sins of Lot. And I remember when I was in college, I became I got converted, grew up in a church, and I remember my Bible study leader talked about Lot too. I still remember that. And he said Lot was this worldly guy. Because remember, Abraham said, choose. Because they were together, and then, if you choose this, I will choose this. And then gave Lot the first choice. And actually, Lot chose to settle in Sodom and Gomorrah, right? The city actually got destroyed because of wickedness. And so, see, Lot did not have wisdom. He actually wanted wickedness and worldliness. See what happened to him? Well, we need to put on the brakes for a little bit. We often do two fundamental errors when we read these Old Testament stories. First, we often bring our own modern morality into the story. I mean, think about it. Let's say men came to your door, my door, surrounded the whole house, okay? About to enter to do something crazy, illegal, something bad. And you had guests in your house. So to save his own neck and the guests, he gave your daughter, your children, as a sacrifice. I mean, how could Lot do that to his daughters? Unthinkable, right? That's what I think, what most of you and I would think. Second error, our fundamental error that we do is, one of the key ways to interpret the Old Testament story is to stick to what the apostles tell us, how they help us interpret some of these Old Testament stories. This is a difficult one. And this is important, to help let the apostles help us interpret some of this Old Testament story, because Peter, apostles, and Jesus' Bible back then was the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament. They had the Old Testament, the first 39 books called the Torah, the Old Testament. And look at Master Peter, who knew his Bible. Look at what he says about Lot. It's up there. Put it up. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Look what he says. And he's talking about Lot. And he could read it in context. Okay? And if he rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked, verse 8, for as that righteous man lived among them day after day, he was tormenting his righteous soul over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard. Not just one time said about Lot righteous. Not twice, three times. Righteous, righteous, righteous. Peter knew Lot. We come and read the story and say, sinful Lot. Look what he did to his daughters. incest, crime after crime after crime. Don't be like Lot. Not just once. Peter the apostle says three times, holy, 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 three times means perfection in the Bible. And Peter, righteous, righteous, righteous. It seems like our modern interpretation of the story of Lot is pretty different. I mean, it's not hard to see how Peter looked at Lot, a righteous man. So what we need to do is go back to the story of Lot and read the story more carefully. Some of the details. Following the apostles' lead on Lot, that he was a righteous man, because the details are so easy to misinterpret. So let's begin and see if Apostle Peter and what he assessed about Lot's character was right. Okay? Righteous, righteous, righteous. Instead of maligning Lot's character, criticizing Lot's character. Here we go. Two angels came to Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, and if you read the story, you know why they were there for. They were looking, as we read in our text, the two angels were sent by God to find righteous people. And if the angels found not 50, but what? 10. God will spare that city from destruction. If they found 10 righteous people in Sodom, then they won't destroy the city. This is God's special work. I know sometimes we don't want to talk about it, but this business is of judgment. He's going to find those who are really, really righteous. And the angels are sent to assess that. And the word judgment there, we often think as like punishment or like sentencing. No, the angels, when God judges through himself or through other means, the word judge or judgment is before the punishment, is before the sentencing. The judge finds out what really happened. What are the facts? What are the evidences? And the judge or people who judges gathers all the facts, what the truth of the matter, and then he's supposed to make an impartial judgment according to what he finds, the truth, the facts, the evidence. Did the angels find righteous people, 10 righteous people living there, who are really, really righteous? The Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And God is not judging not only in Sodom, but he's going to judge you and me. What really happened? What are your actions? So let's see. Let's see those actions a lot. Was he righteous? Not just appearance, but his actions. Number one, first righteous act. Lot, remember the angels came into the city, and then immediately, and people often overlook this, Lot welcomes these two men, these two angels. It is an unwritten social rule that if you should welcome strangers into your home. It was considered nothing short of rudeness to refuse a passing traveler food and rest. Remember, you know, we think, you know, we live in a modern times where there's hotels and motels, okay? They didn't have things like that. Back then, travel was long. They didn't have airplanes, okay? Trains, cars. Often travel was long, it was expensive, it was very difficult. later in the law of Moses, there will be a law for taking care of passersby. In other words, this was a test of character for Lot. How do people treat others in their need? I mean, how do you treat others in their need? Some of you guys are in college, right? And you know, you're passing the class with flying colors, getting an A, and you know some students, maybe your friend, who is struggling. And then he or she asks for help. What do you do? Do you say, I'm busy. I have finals. I have all the classes. Is that your response? Someone in the church here who needs help. I mean, how do you respond to that? How do you treat others in their need? Lot, first righteous act, he welcomes these strangers into his house. Second, not only he welcomes them, he prepares a meal, it reads. Actually, the Hebrew word there is a feast. I mean, in other words, he really went all out to entertain his guests. He's showing how special they are. I remember when I first came here at this church, and by God's grace, we purchased a single family home in Racine. It was more affordable there. And then a bunch of you guys came before the whole family came. I believe it was Elder Frank's small group, some of the leaders, and a few others came to our house, mowed our grass, okay, went inside and cleaned our house. That was special, you know. We felt special. It was just another employee or pastor that you guys hired. And then after that, I remember you guys did a welcoming party and did like a baby shower for my wife. I mean, did Lot know that they were angels sent by God? I doubt it. Not immediately. I mean, later on, he knew. Because the men told, God sent us to come and rescue you. Lot is doing something that few people are willing to do. He's spending his wealth and time on men he doesn't even know. How many people do you know who will spend their time and money on even their relatives, let alone perfect strangers? Yet this is a mark of a righteous man. He extends his help willingly to those in need. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 25. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When do we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when do we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Notice when you read before the story of Lot, Abraham met these angels too. And he also gave these angels a feast. Abraham, before Lot, did the same thing. When the angel showed up to Abraham in his tent where he lived, made them comfortable, gave them food and shelter. Isn't it remarkable that the very law that defines a righteous man is done both by Abraham and his nephew? Can we draw conclusions about how much like Abraham that is in Lot? In verse 4, continue in Genesis 19, the men of the city are the men of Sodom, both young and old, all of the people, to the last man. The writer wants us to see that all of the men came out and surrounded Lot's house. That's like I live in Racine or Village of Caledonia, and all the people came and surrounded my house. Okay. It's not just two. And notice how the count went. All those outside the house, the entire city, were demanding right to commit wickedness. All those inside the house, which was Lot, were appalled at such wickedness. Now, up to this point, guys, when you read the story, Lot did nothing wrong or sinful up to this point, right? First righteous act, he welcomed the strangers. Second righteous act, he prepared a meal for them, a feast for the strangers, used his wealth and resources for them, hospitality, comfort. Not knowing that they were messengers of God. You know, he wasn't like, oh, see, they're messengers of God. If I help them, okay, see, then God will bless me. He was doing that. Scratch God's back and he will scratch yours. Do favors for God and he will do favors for you. I mean, he's not a puppet. God is not a puppet. He's not your butler. One pastor said, God's not your butler. You only seek God when you're in trouble. When everything's going great, you don't need God. Lot wasn't doing that. The maligning comes here. The next part, what he did. Peter didn't think that it was unrighteous. We think that way. I mean, on the glance, even me, why in the world, you know? Look at the situation, okay? Men is surrounding his entire house, okay? Trying to do harm to these guests of his. Why in the world? It's like me, like, giving up my kids, right? How can Lot do that? How can that be sinful? You know? What is Peter talking about? I mean, he must not read his Bible to call Lot righteous, not once, but three times. Do to them, his daughters, as you please, he said in Genesis 19, verse 8. Let's try to analyze the situation here, okay? First, you got to understand the extreme, dangerous, and touchy situation that he is in. Okay, try to put yourself in his shoe. Okay, he's surrounding your house. They're trying to commit crime. I mean, what would you do? I mean, it wasn't like here we could call the police, right? They had no police back then. It was up to them to solve this problem. And he had to think really quick, because the entire city was about to do something. There was no mistake in that. At a time of a crisis, It is extremely, extremely difficult to do the right thing. Second, the rules of social behavior dictated that law protect these strangers with his life. Remember, being a righteous man, he would not let the Sodomites molest the guests in his house. But that would not be right. I mean, even our modern morality we don't think that'd be like good. Guest came in and they're like, oh, here you go, to save his own neck, right? Here you go, the guest. You want them? No. You need to protect your guests. Third, and I need you guys to take off your modern morality and try to put yourself in the Bible context here. He offered a better solution than what they were demanding. It would have been bad enough for them to have his daughters. It was unthinkable, however, if they would have committed sexual morality, homosexuality. Sex is between man and a woman, not between man and man. That is not how God originally made. Man and woman, not man and man. And this was Lot's point. Love for family takes second place. Love for family takes second place to love for God's law. Let me say that one more time. I didn't make a mistake there. Love for family takes second place for the love of God and his law. Look at what Jesus says. It's not something new. He said this. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 10. As hard as it is for our modern 21st century to wrap our minds around this kingdom morality, look at what Jesus says. His ways are perfect. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Jesus did not make a mistake there. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. I am afraid that we don't have many people of this spiritual caliber today, even among the dedicated Christians that Lot had. He was a righteous man. Lot was, as difficult as it is, in the situation he was in, Lot was willing to give up his most precious possessions, which was his daughters, for the sake of God's righteousness. And obviously, that didn't go through. As soon as the angel saw Lot's heart, that he was willing to give up his most prized possessions, like his children, they revealed who they were and said, we need to get out of here. That's what happened. Lot was not sinful. He wasn't a criminal, unloving. He had a high standard for God and his truth and righteousness. We come with our own morality and we'll malign him when Peter never did such a thing. He called Lot righteous, righteous, righteous person. Do you remember the story of Abraham? And our modern culture, modern morality, I have a hard time with this. Remember when God told Abraham to sacrifice his one and only son? Horrific! I mean, just put himself in our shoes. I mean, would you? I'm looking at Noah right now, my first son, okay? Isaac was his first son. And God said, give up this miracle son that I promised for 25 years, and then finally, he came true. This was a miracle son. 25 years, he waited and waited and waited. And God said, give it up. Sacrifice him for me. God was testing him, testing his faith. Can you give up your most prized possessions for me? And you know the story. You and I would curse Abraham if he did it. Even intention. Actually, the story goes, he actually took, you know, he wasn't like, oh, are you sure, God? I don't know. It might be a dream. It might be my mind, like, talking to me. I might have some, like, psychological issues, right? No, he actually took his son to sacrifice him. We say horrific. And God, what did he do? He commended Abraham for his faith, because he was willingly, those are his actions. His actions prove who he is, not just appearance. We look at appearance. God looks at the heart. Actions, you know, the right actions speak louder than words. And so the angels knew they had only one righteous man in Sodom and Gomorrah. It wasn't 10, obviously. And so he said, Lot, righteous man, get out. God is going to come with judgment in this city because of the wickedness there. We come and badmouth this righteous man with our own morality. And the lesson here, guys, one of the lessons is when we come to our Bible, you need to take off your modern morality lens. And you need to let the Bible, especially the apostles, help us interpret some of these difficult passages like Lot and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the book of Genesis. Don't accuse these men where the apostle says, men of faith and righteous three times, and say they committed crimes. They did no such thing. One more righteous act. We accuse Lot of incest. Remember the story, right? After they got out, Lot got drunk and had sex with his daughters. But if you look at the story, go look at it again very carefully. The law of Moses, remember, just Lot is a righteous man according to the law. He tried to live by the law. And this kind of incest, God forbid, in the law of Moses. And if you read the verses very, very quick or carefully, it was Lot's daughter's sin against Lot's wishes and without his knowledge that this happened. Unless his daughters tricked him, Lot would have never done such a thing. Such a thing would be repulsive to a righteous man, because not only he was righteous one time, he was righteous three times. I mean, do you fault Lot for other people's wickedness? Do we? I mean, we could raise our kids to the best of our ability. the godliest way, the righteous way we know how according to the Bible. And if they turn out the wrong way, is that the parents' fault? I mean, is that Lot's fault? The Lot's daughters tricked Lot in doing this hideous thing? I don't think so. You can't blame Lot for this. Maybe you could taught them better not to do those things. But that's the point. He probably did taught them the right way. And yet, his children turned out badly. Doesn't mean that it's the parents, that the parents failed. So, it seems like Peter is right in how he assesses Lot's character. Righteous, righteous, righteous man we have here. Not appearance, but actions that he did. And look at what he says in 2 Corinthians. This has an application here, almost done. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Paul says this: we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. So God's going to judge us by our actions. He will. He's going to assess by our actions. What do we do? How do we use our time? He will. And he's going to judge or assess our actions. Actually, not just our actions, our thoughts, even our feelings. And here is, and that's pretty awesome, but here is good news. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 7. Blessed are those, blessed, happy. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Talking about there. Those who trust in Jesus, the perfect man, a man without sin, your deeds, your actions, your imperfect actions, your imperfect intentions, all mixed with your sin, he said, it will be forgiven and forgotten. Only in Jesus. Your sins, it says, will be covered by his deeds, righteous deeds. That's the good news. That's why Jesus came. He came to save your and my, not righteous deeds, no, our sinful deeds. You know, our best deeds, a prophet says, is as a filthy as rag. Our best intentions according to God. And he has come. Jesus, the Son of God, has come to forgive us for those. To cover multitude of sins. No matter how big, no matter how much, past, present, and future. That's the point. All Christians, all believe in Jesus, are rescued from sin and death by the blood of Christ.